I am Jorge Diner and this is episode 24 of my podcast, Human Affairs. This episode is called "We Don't Understand This War, and That's the Reason We Are Losing It." I want to start this episode by mentioning that we very recently had a tragic loss, a war-related loss in our family, with the falling of our daughter's fiancé, who fell serving our country, Israel. He was a hero, and he will always inspire us by what he did, as he did like many others. So I'm dedicating this podcast to his memory, to the memory of Netanel Buchris. And as I said at the beginning of this series of podcasts, at the very beginning, like when we had our first episode, this podcast is about making sense of a war in disarray. And I have to say that when the world knocks on your door and you feel the pain of what really means war, it really shows the tragic side, and then our own personal life and world gets in disarray. But at some point, it takes us, and I'm sharing with you where it took me, maybe to a better understanding of where we are. And exactly that's what I'm trying to share here. As I always say, I don't have the truth. I can only share what I think and hope that that can help really make sense of what's happening, but also guide us in what we can do and what we should be doing right now. And when I say we don't understand this war, the first thing I want to clarify is what do I mean by we? Who is the we? And here I'm talking about the we being the free world, the world of the part of the world that is living in freedom, in democracy, in a place where we can be with others, being who we are, being able to express our own identity without having to suppress that, and being able to make our own choices in a free environment where we care for each other and we live in harmony. And that's the world that I'm defending when I say we. And I believe that those people who live in this world, we all together, we don't understand this world. And that's really what I call lack of clarity. And here I will challenge my own definition of who I have been presenting myself in this podcast as a humble servant of global society. And I won't be so humble by saying, I do think that in a way I have found some clarity. Maybe that clarity is related to the fact that for the last more than 2 years, myself and my wife, Ira, who is, as those who follow the podcast know, she is from Ukraine. We have family from her side in still living in Ukraine, very close family, friends, and we follow that war every day. And unfortunately, we living in Israel, we follow the war in Israel and all the ramifications of this war at the same time. That's our daily life, that's our daily coffee, small talk. And that's something that maybe that's the reason we can connect better the dots. It's like I was trying to think metaphorically how I can explain this kind of clarity. And the only metaphor that I found could maybe explain this is how we look at the sky, and unless we see the connection between the dots, we won't see the constellations, those figures that we can see in the sky, creating something that makes sense. And it seems that, you know, not by chance, most of us are looking at these different stars, metaphorically speaking, or dots, or conflicts, or situations, or developments in different parts of the world. We see that as isolated incidents, as isolated events, when actually they are all connected in creating one picture of how today the war is fighting one of its more existential struggles of any times, because we are talking about the possibility, and the very concrete possibility, of seeing our planet being destroyed and humanity as it existed till now ceasing to exist. So what we see here, in a way, is something new, and it's more risky than previous global mega conflicts, such as the First World War, the Second World War, and previous wars of incredible size. Today is more dangerous because of the capabilities that countries and nations and have to basically use the type of weapons that can produce a level of destruction that we haven't seen till now. And when we look at this, you know, it really resembles, you know, the Second World War. We are living in a period where, in the same way that happened in the beginning or prior to the Second World War, we saw an alignment of authoritarian countries trying to impose an imperialistic authoritarian lifestyle into other parts of the world that were democratic, free, that were able to create a free society. And now we are in the same place. We have a very clear alliance of the radical Islam led by Iran with the Russian imperialism led by Russia's Putin, and aligned with North Korea, and with China, you know, playing that game behind in a passive way, but, you know, not contradicting this model. And then on the other side, we see a lot of confusion. And that's the weakness of the free world, and that's where confusion exists. And then, you know, when you look at that confusion, you start thinking, where is that coming from? It's like, you know, people are asking the time, don't people understand that burning babies in the Israeli communities on October 7 is something that there is no way anybody who calls himself, herself, a defenders of human rights can tolerate and move on to the next thing, like this never happened? Can what happened in Ukraine today be something that we get used to and nobody cares anymore, because, you know, it's not, you know, 2 years is too long, and, you know, they should just say that it's okay, let's stop it, without understanding what is really happening behind. And then here is where this putting the stars together play a very important role. Because what we need to understand, in order to understand the war and the moving to start winning it, is understanding that we are talking here about a hybrid war. We are not talking here about a war where we see a conflict in Ukraine and a conflict in Israel and in the Middle East, and then maybe, you know, soon another conflict in Asia Pacific area between China and other countries in the area. No, it's not just the geography, but it's also in the other places where the anti-freedom forces have been working for many years in setting the base for what I call a massive amount of fifth columns, of those columns that are inside your enemy. It's like bringing the thousands of Trojan horses within free and democratic societies, being it in media, that the powers of the authoritarian project have bought in the free world, or being in political parties that we see through, for example, the pro-Russian populist parties gaining force in Europe based on the results of the last European Union elections these past days, and clearly being developed as one of the ways to win this war, is the social movements of protesting against Israel with a level of anti-Semitism that cannot be explained. Pro-Hamas students, you know, protesting in any place around the world, when what they are protesting and defending is nothing less than what ISIS was, and nobody will accept that, but we do and why these people who are confused, who are following certain type of news, who have been consuming through the internet and through different social networks and a lot of use of information that is fake, that not only misinform them but misguide them in understanding what's right and wrong. So the fight is not just geographical like it used to be, with the power of controlling media, academic institutions, political parties, social movements around the world. The authoritarian axis is winning this war, and we are not, because we don't put the points together, the dots together. But having said that, there is a point where we can get some clarity. And if we can get that clarity, it can lead us into creating a much more clear coalition and understanding. I, you know, live in Israel. This is the fight we're fighting. We are fighting also the fight in Ukraine in many ways. These are the two fronts. And clearly, when I think about Israel, is many times I had conversations with my fellow Israelis saying, we need to understand our struggle is bigger than ourselves. It's something that it's Iran, is the same Iran that had sold and created and experimented. They are the same weapons they are going to use and already used against us in their previous massive attack against Israel. The same weapons that they gave to Russia to destroy buildings, killing babies and families in Ukraine in the last 2 years, which is clearly an alliance. It's not even something that we need to analyze, but something that doesn't get out, and it's the same powers that have bought some of the seats on some of the leading universities in the United States. That explains why their positions have been so problematic when it comes to the relationship with Israel and the current conflict in the Middle East. So when we look at this, what I call the constellation, how we put the dots together, how we create from the isolated stars something that we can understand. Once we do that, we are one step ahead in our fight. And it includes us here in Israel, people in other parts of the world, understanding where we need to stand in this fight before it's too late. And we understand that free people around the world who are not understanding what is wrong and what is right. And again, I'm trying to be humble and not say they have the truth. But when LGBT protester is defending Hamas in anywhere in the world, they have no idea what the Hamas will do to them as a radical Islam movement if they would be living under Hamas authority. They would kill them, they will burn them, they will cease to exist. And that lack of clarity needs to be told and said loud and clear. So in order to start winning this war, I will propose things that will expand further in my next podcast episodes. But I will very briefly line up now. Number one, connect the stars. We need to start connecting the stars and making clear that people understand all the stars are connected. In the massive flow of information that people receive, we need to start stressing more and more everywhere. All those who really start seeing the clarity that these stars are all connected and are part of one project to destroy the free world. The second thing is, once we know that, we need to expose the hidden information. We need to go out and say, this is what's happening. This media is doing this because of this. This university is doing this because they have been bought by Qatar. This is exactly what's happening because these political parties have sources that supporting them and go all the way back through bank transactions to Russia. These things have to be exposed, and every time we can and everywhere we can find to do that. If we do these two things, then the confusion will start to be clear. We need to be more active in our information campaign. We need to provide much more clarity. We need also to start announcing the fifth columns and make clear that we tell them, we understand that this is what they are. And I know there are many who are doing this, so I'm not talking about something that is new. I'm just saying that's something that needs a global effort and a global coalition to make this happen in a clear way. And I think that at the end, we'll be able to build this coalition which goes beyond nation, that includes the civil society, includes human beings who care about each other, people who can see beyond slogans, beyond the black and white, and basically get into a sense of what needs to be fought for and how we can fight it. One of the weaknesses we have, and we have to address this, is that the other side, the authoritarian side, does not need to run for elections. They will stay there for as many years as they want. They may have pseudo-democracies or one-party governments, and they have time to wait. They can do everything they can to make us tired, to increase the confusion. In the societies we live, governments go for elections, and the public opinion counts a lot. And many times governments have to really manage their affairs in the way that they remain in government. But that means that in the strength of the public opinion, in convincing the public opinion of what's right, actually can provide that change that we need to win over the other side that has more time, because they will be there forever. But there is one thing that I know, is that there is no forever. If we look at history, the global society faced struggles like this. There were many. The last one, it was almost a century ago. And the world could have looked different if the free world wouldn't have won that war. It would be very different. We will not be enjoying the freedom we have to progress, to be, to care, and to live. So we can do it again. We just need to be leaders of our own reality. One, two, and many, understanding what's the fight, how to fight it, and not just make sense of a war in incredible, unprecedented disarray, but bring peace, stability, justice, and more than anything, freedom, so that we can be who we want to be anywhere in the world and live in harmony with others. This is Jorge Diner, and this was episode 24 of Human Affairs. We don't understand this war, and that's the reason we are losing it. Maybe we will stop losing it and start winning for good. Thank you.